Welcome to Talks from the Bible. Those who believe in God, who seek to know God, who desire to honor God, should also believe in the Bible. As believers in God and believers in the Bible, the Word of God, we should read and study the Bible. We should learn the divine truths that are presented to us in the Bible. God has revealed His mind to us. He has shown how we might please Him, how we might honor Him, and how we might know Him. He has presented unto us an incredible way of life if we would but walk according to the teachings of the Bible. The Bible presents unto us two aspects of life. There is the temporal and the eternal. Our temporal life is lived upon the earth. We dwell in a physical body. We live from day unto day. But we know that this body will grow old, this body will deteriorate, and ultimately we will die. This is the temporal aspect of life. We buy things for our use, but those things grow old and must be discarded. Concerning man, there is the temporal life, but there is also the eternal life. God has made us, has created us as an eternal being. He has given us a life that will extend beyond this present world, that will live even beyond this temporal life. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Daily we see the seen. We look at the world. We look at the rising of the sun or the setting of the sun. We behold the stars at night. We see the world in all of its grandeur and in all of its beauty and excellency. We see other people. We behold them as they move about from day to day. We see the seen. But Scripture tells us that there is the unseen. There is that which the eye cannot see. But through faith, we believe in the unseen. God is the unseen. We have not seen God, but we believe in God, and we desire to know God. We seek to draw closer to God so that we might please Him and become His children. Heaven is the unseen. We desire to go to heaven. We believe in a place called heaven. We believe that God has created this divine land, and this is the destination of all of the righteous. This will be the eternal home of those who believe in God. The temporal grows old and dies. The eternal continues to live and abide. This is almost inconceivable to man because we are time-oriented. We observe time by the calendar, by counting days and years. We observe the time during the day by looking at clocks and watches. We make appointments that are based upon time. We are time-oriented people. The eternal is that which will not cease. God inhabits eternity. God is the eternal one. Jesus Christ came to earth and lived upon the earth as the eternal one. And after a temporal life, He returned to the heavenly abode to dwell with God His Father. The Apostle Paul said, "We look at the things which are seen, but we must also look at the things which are not seen. The things which are seen are temporal, They will not remain. They will not last. They will fade in beauty. They will become useless. But the things which are not seen are eternal. As we live the life of the seen, we must also live the life of the unseen. We must have a faith in that which we cannot see, but nevertheless we believe. The temporal will pass while the eternal will remain. 1 John 2, verse 17, "The world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Those who do the will of God will abide forever. They will live eternally. This world and the sinfulness of this world will pass away. One day the world will be no more. God will bring this world that He has created into destruction. But those who do the will of God, those who walk according to the teachings of Scripture, those who live by faith to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and please God, will abide forever. We must choose between the seen and the unseen, between the temporal and the eternal, and we must realize the cost of our choice. All choices have cost. There are consequences or blessings to every action taken by humanity. Matthew 16:24-26, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited, if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Jesus speaks in these passages of Scripture concerning discipleship. There are conditions that must be met if we would follow Jesus. Jesus said, "If any man will come after me." This phrase means that all men can follow Jesus. Every person who lives the temporal life has the opportunity to make a choice to follow Jesus. We can choose to follow Jesus and become His disciple, or we can decide not to follow Jesus and not be His disciple. If places a condition upon us. If is a choice that we make. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. These are the conditions of discipleship. This is what Jesus requires if we would follow Him. We must deny ourselves. We must not seek to please ourselves. We must not seek to do our own will, but rather we must seek to do the will of the Father. We must turn our life over to the teachings of God. This is why it is imperative and important that we study the Bible and learn what the Bible teaches, so that we can do exactly and precisely what God wants us to do and live in the manner that He wants us to live. We must deny ourselves. We cannot fulfill our own desires. We cannot follow our own lust. We cannot walk in our own way. We must deny ourselves and take up His cross. There is a responsibility in serving Jesus. There is a call and a charge that must be met. There are conditions that must be accepted. Some are willing to follow Christ if they can follow Him on their own terms. But such cannot be true. Jesus said we must take up our cross. Jesus came into the world to bear a cross. He came having been sent by God to do the will of the Father. And so our cross is that we will follow Christ. We will sometimes have difficulty in living the Christian life. We will have to learn to resist temptation. We will have to accept persecution. The person who follows Christ lives a different life than the one who does not follow Christ. We must take up our cross and we must follow Him. We must walk in His steps. We must learn about the life of Jesus. We must see how this exceptional person who lived upon the earth lived his life in total obedience to the will of the Father, and we must follow him. We must walk in his steps. We must imitate his life. We must allow him to be our example. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. When we surrender ourselves unto Christ and deny ourselves, we lose our life. We continue to live upon the earth, but we live to the glory of the Father. We live unto the pleasing of Jesus Christ. And therefore we will save our life. Otherwise, we will lose our life. We will not be accepted into that eternal land that God has prepared. We will not be fit to live in the place that the Bible calls heaven. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? This is the cost of the choice. In choosing to follow Jesus, or in refusing not to follow Jesus, we either save our soul or we lose our soul. And Jesus said there is no profit in losing one soul. The greatest tragedy of all human life will be the loss of the human soul. We are to make a wise choice. We are to choose wisely. Titus 2, verse 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. There is a manner of life that we must live in this present world. While we live in this world, while we live in this present temporal life, we are to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, and we live soberly. We live with an intent to serve God. We realize the blessing that comes from following God, but we all also understand the consequences that are ours if we do not follow God. We live righteously. We do what is right. God has taught us how to live. He has given a standard of human life. And when we follow that standard, when we live according to that standard, then we are righteous and godly. We come to know God. We see all the attributes of God. We see the full character of God. The Bible is the revelation of God. The Bible reveals unto us this supreme being called God. The Bible tells us how he thinks, how he acts. The Bible tells us of the emotions of God. And we must seek to be godly in this present world. This is a wise choice. Those who live soberly, righteously, and godly live a better life. They live a more contented life. They live a guilt-free life. They live a hopeful life with an expectation of a reward that will be given in that last great day. Ephesians 5, 15 through 17 admonishes, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." We are not to be unwise in the will of the Lord. Every person can understand the will of the Lord. Read the Bible. Understand the Scriptures. The days in which we live are evil. Our culture is evil. Sin abounds. Unrighteousness and ungodliness are everywhere. We must decide that we are going to be wise, that we are going to walk in a manner that will please God. We are not going to walk as the foolish walk, but we are going to walk as the wise walk by understanding the will of the Lord and obeying that will. Romans 13, 13 and 14, "Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying." Notice all of these derogatory characteristics, these negative attitudes of life. Sinfulness, ungodliness, reprobate, heathenistic, rioting, drunkenness, chambering, wantonness, strife, envying. The scripture says, don't live like this. This is not a life that is pleasing and acceptable to God. This is not how this temporal journey should be lived. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. This is the wise choice. We must decide how we will live. And in deciding how we will live, we decide whether we accept the seen or the unseen, the temporal or the eternal. Our manner of life determines the decision that we have made and the goal that we have set and the prize that we pursue. Let us talk about the search for the eternal. We must seek the eternal. We must set our mind upon the eternal. We must set our focus upon the eternal. The eternal must be our purpose and our pursuit of this temporal life. Eternal life comes at a cost. There is a price that must be paid for eternal life. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 12, Paul tells this young man, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. This passage of Scripture tells us that we will not simply be saved, that God will not simply take us to heaven, that God will not simply give us this eternal life, but we must fight the good fight of faith. We have to fight against temptation. We have to fight against the persistence of the devil. We have to fight against the sneers and the scoffing of other individuals. We have to fight against the course of this world. The fight of faith must be fought so that we might lay hold on eternal life. Eternal life is an opportunity, a gift, that has been presented to the human family, but we must lay hold upon it. We must secure it for ourselves. We must desire to obtain it. We must seek to want it. Whereunto thou art also called. We are called to fight. We are called to lay hold upon eternal life. God has given us the wonderful privilege to lay hold upon the gift of eternal life. This is His grace. But there must be an obedient act that accepts this wonderful gift, that secures this wonderful gift. We must secure eternal life. There is a cost that we must pay. There is the prize that we must desire to obtain. And we must, in order to obtain that prize, as we have noticed, deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Christ. Faith, to have it, to possess it, to own it, to understand it, to realize it, to embrace it, must be secured by fighting for it. 1 Corinthians 9:24 through 27. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. I have watched the running of a race. Perhaps you have watched a race being run. You have witnessed the desire, the determination, even the agony of the one who runs the race. We understand that before that race is run, there must be great preparation. One must condition the body to run a race. One must make sacrifices. to run a race. Those who run in a physical race run all, but only one receives the prize. There is a winner and there is a loser. The same sacrifices have been made. The same determination has been given. But only one receives the prize. And those who strive, notice the word strive, agony, determination, preparation, sacrifice, are temperate in all things. They do it to obtain a corruptible crown. The crown will fade in its beauty. It will lose its luster. Perhaps even over time it will lose its significance. But we are running a race for an incorruptible crown. We must be temperate. We must condition ourselves. We must deny ourselves. We must make sacrifices. Paul said, I run not as one uncertainly. I am certain of the prize. I am certain of the incorruptible crown. I know why I am running this race. I know the prize that is before me. And I am sure, I am certain, I am fully persuaded that that prize can be mine. I keep under my body, I bring it under subjection. I deny myself the lust and the passions of the flesh. I refuse to be involved in sinfulness. I have given myself, surrendered myself to the Lord Jesus Christ. We must look to the end without failing. We must keep our eye upon the prize. We must continue to look and seek. 1 Corinthians 15, 57 through 58. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Paul is speaking of human death and the resurrection of the body by the Lord Jesus Christ when he comes again. Paul said, thanks to God, which giveth us the victory. And as I understand that victory, as I seek to obtain that prize, I must be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for I know that my labor will not be in vain. The Christian life requires labor. The hope of the resurrection requires steadfastness. We must not be moved away from that hope. We must know that the end will come. The prize will be bestowed. The crown will be placed. Eternal life will be ours. We keep our eye on the unseen. Galatians 6:9, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. Along the way of life we cannot faint. Satan will attempt to cause us to faint. People will desire that we faint. The way of the world can cause us to faint. The cares, the difficulties, the problems of human life can cause us to faint. We must not faint. We must not be weary in well-doing. We must continue to do well. For in due season we shall reap. We understand the sowing and the reaping of a harvest. We understand the labor that is involved in the sowing of the harvest. But we understand the blessing of the reaping of that harvest. Colossians 1:23, if ye continue in the faith, grounded, settled, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Continue in the faith, be grounded and settled, be so grounded and so settled that no adversity of life, no temptation of the devil, no enticement of Satan can draw you away from Jesus Christ. Be so grounded and settled in your faith, in your obedient stand, to Jesus Christ that you cannot be moved, so that heaven might be yours. Our hope is in the future. Titus 2:13, looking for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. The Christian is looking, expecting the glorious appearing of the great God and Savior Jesus Christ. He is coming again. And we are looking for that blessed hope that He will bring to us. The coming of Christ and the blessing of that hope is our expectation. Looking for the blessed hope is much like a child expecting his birthday to come or Christmas to come. There is excitement. There is anticipation. We have an excitement looking for that prize. We have an expectation in the coming of Christ. Our hope is in the future. Our hope is in the coming of Christ and the prize that He will bring and the glorious acceptance of us that will come at that time. 1 Peter 1:9-10, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. The prophets have prophesied of the grace that would come through Jesus Christ, and the end of our faith is the salvation of our souls. We must hold to our faith. We must secure our faith. We must not lose our faith. Romans 8:18-19, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. We wait for the manifestation that Christ will grant to us in that great day. We wait patiently. We wait continually. We wait for the hope that will come. The sufferings of this present time cannot be compared with that glory. How glorious that hope will be. How magnificent that coming will be. How glorious the crown that we will receive. Heaven should be our goal. As we live in this present world, we should desire to go to heaven. We must not simply wish to go to heaven. We must strive to go to heaven. Colossians 3:2 says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. We live on the earth, but we must not fall in love with the earth. We must not become attached to the earth. We must set our affection, the desire of our heart, the longing of our being, the steadfastness of our soul, upon heaven, upon things above. Hebrews 10:34, for ye had compassion of me and my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Heaven is better than this world. Heaven is more enduring in this world. There is constant change in this old world. There is a constant upheaval in this old world. There is continual disaster in this old world. But in heaven, there is a better and there is an enduring substance. Heaven will endure while the earth does not endure. Paul said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. May heaven be our goal and may we press toward that eternal land. May we give ourselves to the obtaining of that land. May we surrender our heart to the Lord Jesus Christ so that with confidence at the end of life we can say with the Apostle Paul, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Oh, we should long for the crown of righteousness. We should pay the price that God requires so that we might obtain that wonderful prize. We must serve Him with the fullness of our being, with the total surrender of our soul, so that in that hour He will say, come, and inherit the blessings that have been prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Talks from the Bible are brought to you by the Church of Christ at South Commerce Street in Somerville, Georgia.